minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Saturday and the beat goes on. The Saturday show once again dropping news. The news dump hits, and we're here to give it to you. I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, Pulse of the Pack, and the Quick Slants Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and his new venture, Packers Unrestricted. Paul, we'll start with you in the Dairyland State of Wisconsin. Of course, you got to give us the weather update, but got to plug the new podcast. Congratulations on that. I was listening to it, and it's good.
I appreciate that, Jason. Yeah. So, well, I'll start with the important part, the weather. It's 55 here on Saturday. I'm going to be outside all day. Not sure what I'll be doing, but I'll find something to do. And yeah, the podcast, like I said, or I'll be putting out a few episodes each week, just keeping everyone up to date on what's going on in Packer Nation. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, basically anywhere that you find podcasts. And I appreciate you following along, commenting, all that good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The rolling narratives of Paul Brettel. And if you read and follow his work over at Dairyland Express, he puts out, what was it, Mark? Is he up to 873 articles a week? Or is it?
My last count was like 862.
He's slipping.
I can always count on Mark, my biggest fan.
And Mark Eckel on the East Coast, what's going on at the beach?
It's beautiful. This whole weekend's been great. 70s and sunny and just what it's supposed to be, where the cold is gone. I mean, heck, if it's 55 in Green Bay, it better be 70 here, right? I mean, come on. Hey, you know what else I've been thinking, guys? I'm thinking about changing my first name to Pierre. Because well, then we would be Jason Pierre Paul.
Oh, there we go. I was going to say, I was lost on that one.
I'm looking at the schedule. Andy puts the calendar out with the schedule on it for us. And I'm looking, and it said Jason Mark Paul. And I'm like, Jason Pierre Paul. Okay, yeah. I can change my name.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you might have me beat, Paul, because right now it's only 52 degrees here in the Phoenix area.
Wow.
Well, I just want you to know, Jason, I feel for you, okay?
Overcast and rainy, so.
Take that, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, take that, Mr. Soak Up the Sunshine. So let's get to it, guys. It's funny. We were coming up with our topic du jour, and this was earlier this afternoon. It's Friday. We're recording. And then, of course, we benefit from, once again, a nice little news dump. And, of course, we'll give Mark some credit for that, too, because Mark tells the Packers what to do. They listen, and then they do it.
Well,
so
I tell them to wait till Friday. Like, this was done on Tuesday, but they didn't want to waste it on the middle of the week, guys. They wanted to wait for us.
Right. So the four big moves of the day were safety Adrian Amos and outside linebacker Preston Smith, or cornerback, depending on who you follow on Twitter. Outside linebacker Preston Smith restructured their contracts to give the Packers some more cap flexibility, and that means Preston Smith will stay in Green Bay. He will not be moving on, supposedly, according to the way the contract was structured. Tim Boyle, backup quarterback Tim Boyle, was not tendered, so the Jordan Love as quarterback number two era will seemingly begin. And then more recently, we learned that fullback John Lovett has been waived. He suffered the unfortunate ACL injury in November and wasn't able to finish the season. So he has been waived. And that will also save the Packers a little bit of money. So, Mark, since you're the one that started the train rolling and the Packers listened to you first, we're going to let you go first. Obviously, there was a couple things they could do with Preston Smith. So as far as what they did do, your reaction?
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant move. I mean, and it was easy for everybody to say, oh, get rid of Preston Smith, get rid of Preston Smith. Well, fine. Get rid of him and save $8 million, right? That's what if they would have cut him, they would have saved $8 million. That's all well and good, but somebody's got to take his spot. And I know, all right, Rashawn Gary's going to take a spot. Great. Then who's going to be Rashawn Gary? Because, like we said this, and we've said this week after week here, I don't know if John Garvin's ready for that role. I mean, he certainly didn't show it last year. I mean, he was like a rookie on seventh-round pick. He played a little bit early and then didn't play at all, which is probably the smart thing to do. Let him redshirt. Maybe he is ready. We don't know. But you need three pass rushers. You really do. And Now they have him, and they saved as much as they would have saved if they had cut him. So, brilliant move on Russ Ball's part, you know, who finagles the numbers and gets the cap room done. And, you know, Preston Smith also worked with Joe Barry in Washington. So that's the one guy on the defense that Barry actually knows and has coached before. So his contract now is fitting of a third pass rusher. I think Gary, and I think Paul, I think you wrote this today, you know, Gary deserves to be two guys. It's Zadarius and Gary. Now, but now listen, as the scout told me in the story that I wrote last week on the outside linebackers, you know, two Smiths are better than one. And, you know, that's probably as good a trio of pass rushers as any team in the league has, right? I mean, right there with anybody.
Absolutely.
So this is a good thing. This is a real good thing. They don't have to worry. They don't have to rely on a Garvin or a Randy Ramsey, you know, an unproven guy. They don't have to draft a guy now. They have enough things to draft. They don't need to add. Now, if they want to draft a pass rusher in the middle rounds, you're like, okay, why not? You know, groom him for the future. But they're not going to ask a rookie to come in and be the third guy. So they have three good, reliable pass rushers now on the outside. So that's a good – I'm thrilled with that move. The other moves, you know, Amos, good for him. Apparently it's not that big a deal if all they did was turn. I would have liked to see an extension for Amos. I would like to have seen him, you know, sign for another 3 years or so. But, you know, it helped him a little bit. Love it. I mean, yeah, I wasn't counting on him being on the team anyway. He saved a little bit there. And Boyle, my condolences to Andy Harmon, but he's the only person that really cares, probably.
I do hope that they put Tim Boyle's knee pad in the Packers Hall of Fame, because that was his biggest contribution was, hey, listen, nobody, when Tim Boyle was running onto the field, Packers fans felt great because it meant the game was over they were going to win the game. So
that was
So the thing with Preston,
there is other Packer news today that in a roundabout way, the Christian Kirksey signed with the Texans today.
Houston Texans, yeah. So
which,
teams,
which is a good thing, because apparently, if he had not signed with anyone, the Packers may have been on the hook for $1 million of an injury settlement or something. So the fact that he is signed, he's now Houston's problem. If he's hurt, it's on Houston.
Yeah,
the Packers can wipe him off the books now, clean, and not worry about it. And good for him. I'm glad Houston signed him. He can go play for Houston.
$4+ million, and that's what teams with money do. So good for him. As far as Preston Smith goes, I think he's a player the Packers know what they have in. The pass rush, like you said, Mark, is a very premier position. You don't want to leave it to chance. I don't know how much Green Bay knows about who's going to be hitting the market. There's going to be more veterans that are going to get let go, but teams aren't going to be letting go of really good pass rushers. Those premier positions just aren't where teams make those cuts. And so I think it was wise for Green Bay to keep some continuity with that scheme there. Like you said, he's got the familiarity with Joe Barry. Barry comes in, kind of knows what Preston Smith can do. Who knows? Maybe he'll unleash a side of him that wasn't being as utilized. But
or just go, you know, turn him back to 2019, and he'd be great.
He would be great, and I was happy with the move. Paul, when you heard Preston Smith was going to be sticking around in Green Bay, did it give you some comfort?
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I think it was, you know, in a perfect world, we want Preston Smith here. You know, there's obviously for the question marks around the third edge rusher position, as Mark mentioned, if he was gone. But, I mean, he's only 1 year removed from being a really dominant player, 12 sacks, 62 pressures. And we hope that he can regain some of that form, because we still haven't seen, you know, Gary and the Smiths firing on all cylinders together. And, I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl, NFC Championship. Game still won in the trenches. You need a good offensive line. You need a good pass rush. And he can certainly help provide that. And, I mean, just hats off to Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst. If they had just flat out cut Preston Smith, they would have saved $8 million. With this pay cut restructure, they saved $7.25 million, so almost the same amount that they would have. And there's a little bit of cash that has to be kicked to next year. Smith's cap number in 2022 went from $16.5 million to $19.75 million. but his dead cap hit's still pretty low, $7.25 million. So say this year doesn't pan out, let's fingers crossed it does pan out, but if it doesn't, Green Bay can still save $12.5 million next year. So this was, I mean, this was just really well done by the Green Bay Packers. They keep a talented player in Green Bay, and they saved some much-needed cap space in the process. As we look ahead to the new season, Mark, you alluded to an article I'd written at Cheesehead TV this week. They're going to have to decide how they're going to break down the play between Gary and Preston Smith. Preston Smith, even though he wasn't nearly as productive last year, still dominated the playing time over Gary. And with Gary taking that step forward, he's entering year three, looking to make another step, you know, which so many, you know, successful high-end NFL players make. You don't want to stunt that growth by having him on the sidelines either. So there will be interesting to see how it plays out. Gary, in my opinion, should still get the more snaps at this point in their careers. But all around, I mean, what can you say? It's a job well done by Goody and Russ Ball. And those two we trust.
Yeah, the Packers, we've talked about it. They've got a bunch of draft picks right now as it stands. They're going to take a swing at a couple of these positions. They can draft a pass rusher if they want to. And you also mentioned, Mark, you mentioned Jonathan Garvin and Randy Ramsey. Now, Randy Ramsey, I didn't see anything of. Garvin played a little bit. Who knows? With an offseason, and he gets a chance to know that he's a role player, and maybe he takes a step between year one and year two. I trust the Packers. I was talking to a friend of mine who's also a fan of the team earlier today. We were talking about Gutekunst over the course of three drafts has obviously at least earned the right for us to trust in what he and his team are doing. You've got Jaire Alexander, Darnell Savage, Elton Jenkins, Rashawn Gary, right? They drafted Jordan Love last year, which we don't really know a whole lot about Love, A.J. Dillon, you know, guys like that. But he's brought in some really good talent to this team. His scouting department, his personnel team, and he himself do a good job of trying to acquire that talent. So as we look at, and as far as the safety position goes and Adrian Amos, Mark, you mentioned adding years. I was a little
Jason, I apologize to cut you off. I just wanted to add one other thing about Preston Smith.
Yeah.
It really, what this does too, is it just really frees them up in the draft a lot more. Mm-hmm. If he was cut, all of a sudden that becomes, you know, if they don't address it in free agency, now they have to, you know, that's an early round pick that they have to make.
Huge.
So they get that flexibility there as well.
Huge. But you also don't want to put yourself in a position where you have to draft a certain spot or certain position because you need it. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
and you don't want to rely on rookies to play premier positions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Gary was the 12th pick in a draft, the 12th pick, not a second or third round pick, the 12th pick in a first round. And his rookie year was kind of nothing. I mean, that's fine. That's what you want a rookie to do. You want rookies to watch and learn and then play well their second year. And a perfect, you know, everybody was upset that for, oh, my God, they took this guy at the 12th pick. He doesn't even play. He's not any good. It's a bust. Well, no. I mean, just, you know, Jerome Brown, when I covered the Eagles, I know I always tell old Eagles stories, but that's my background. Jerome Brown's rookie year was very, very average at best. But then after that, he became one of the best defensive tackles in football. Some guys come on the scene, bang, they're good right away. It happens. But a lot of great players have had, you know, average to below average rookie years because it's just a different game. And you're learning different things and you're being asked to do different things. Gary especially, he had his hand on the ground at Michigan most of his career. He wasn't a stand-up linebacker. He was a hand-on-the-ground defensive end. So it takes time. And if you don't have to rely on rookies, it's a good thing. If anything you get from them is a bonus.
And something else, something else that might have played into the Packers' favor here is the tight cap situation and the unknowns of free agency. You know, if Preston Smith presented with this deal in a normal offseason, you know, he might choose to hit the open market where he thinks he can get more money. But there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, look at all the names that were cut this week. There's a lot of quality players out there. The talent pool in free agency this year, it seems a lot deeper than what it normally is. And so that uncertainty of maybe not knowing, you know, leaving a defense. Well, I guess it's going to be a little different defense because Barry's there. But leaving a team that you know, the players that you know for, you know, and not having that guarantee or even maybe, I'm sure they have some idea, but no guarantee of what kind of money's out there. I mean, that might have played a factor in this as well.
Yeah, so I was just looking at Amos's deal because what I started saying was adding years. Mark, you mentioned that they didn't add any years. He's only 20.
I guess,
He's only.
We don't know. I mean, I guess one reporter has reported the deal.
Yeah, Bill Huber. He's cited a source that they took his roster bonus of $1.5 million and converted it to signing bonus or cash. And so what you can do is they split it up. Right. So 750 is this year, 750 is next. So they save 750,000. So not a ton.
Yeah, this season was scheduled to count about $4.9 million in base. He was actually going to count $10 million as far as his cap hit because of the way that everything was spread out. And so then
still counting 9.2 if they save 9.2,
and then next year, so then next year it's going to be closer to 11. I guess 11 million because he's 7 million base, 10.6 as it was before everything went down today. So, but he sneaky put together a really, really good season. So I hope he comes out motivated. He seems like the type of player that's going to come out motivated. And if he didn't get his bite at the apple this year, but he turns in a really good season, I hope that they do add some time to his contract because you keep him and Savage together and that defensive backfield back there. And then you still have to figure out the cornerback position. So as far as these other moves that they made here, I guess the other big question is free agency is going to start on Monday. Let's just keep it real. It's going to start on Monday. They call it the legal tampering period, but that just means they can't ink the deal until Wednesday afternoon when the league year officially starts. So now what? So, I mean, thinking about this, at a premier position, you don't want a rookie, right? So that doesn't mean the Packers aren't going to necessarily target a cornerback in round one. But you do need to figure out the corner position because Kevin King hasn't been signed. He's a free agent, and the Packers need a guy on the outside. So, Mark, is that something that you're keeping your eye on as we move into next week in the free agency period as far as the Packers to try to bring in some veteran to solve that need with a veteran versus obviously having to take a chance on a rookie?
No, I want both. I think they need to – this is a great – it's funny. I did a lot of work this afternoon on the draft talked to some scouts around the league. This is not a good cornerback draft. This might be a great cornerback draft. There's probably eight really good corners. Matter of fact, when I told the guy, because again, the people I talk to still think I care about the Eagles, and I never really cared about them. But I said, you know, I'm doing more Packers stuff down, and they said, oh, the Packers need a corner, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, well, they'll get one. He said, even at 29, there's going to be. They'll still be good corners on the board for him. So I think they need to draft one. I would sign one and draft one and then maybe draft another one, you know, in the middle rounds. Because in my opinion, they have one corner on this team right now. Maybe them young guys. I'm not ready to give up on – I like that kid from Florida State, Stanford Samuel, who they signed as an undrafted rookie last year. He's on a practice squad. I would give him a shot. And I guess they like that Ento. The converted wide receiver who was hurt all last year, but they're kids. I mean, they're unproven, very unproven. I mean, Jackson's got to go, right? Holman, who we liked a lot, but apparently he's just not what anybody thought he was going to be because he couldn't play on the last year either. Sullivan, I don't know if they're going to tender him or not. I don't think I would. That's it. They need a lot of corner. They have one of the best in the game on one side, but they got nothing on the other side. So I would sign a veteran, and there's a few out there. There's one guy that I kind of like a little bit out there. Want to guess who that might be?
Trying to think if we've talked about it.
Asante Samuel. Oh, who? Free agency?
No, free agency.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure who
it is. We know it's not Ronald Darby.
Oh, God, he stinks. Malcolm Butler. I'd take a chance on Malcolm Butler.
Okay. Did not expect that one. Yeah, interesting.
I'm getting no response from you guys on it.
I didn't expect that one either.
Super Bowl hero. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he'd cost a fortune.
Well, that's the thing, is I think the Packers will probably try to find the sweet spot between we want to bring somebody in who's got experience versus breaking the bank for a big name or somebody that may end up paying off. But the Packers have a couple things that they need to do. And other positions that they also need to address. So, you know, I asked specifically about the cornerback position, but there's other areas. Mark, I was listening to your Packers Unrestricted, and this last show that you did, you talked about the defensive line, and that's another area where It's not a great draft class for defensive linemen. I know you said if you can get one early, then you're taking the cream of the crop of what is there. But it would also seem like that's an area where the Packers might look to make a move sooner than later and add some beef. No pun intended, or pun intended.
Yeah, there's the cornerback and defensive tackle position are the two positions that if I could wave a magic wand and say sign some veterans in free agency, that's the two that I would pick. Because I think that that can just free up the draft so much for the Green Bay Packers. If they don't sign a cornerback in free agency, they're going to have to go into the draft saying, okay, we have to get someone no later than round two. And, you know, even though it is a deep class, you still don't want to go in there feeling that you have to take a position if you don't have to. The defensive tackle class, that's kind of the opposite. There's not a lot to choose from. So you might not really have the option early on, at least value-wise, to take someone at that position. So if you do, you might be reaching. If you don't, all of a sudden it's round five or six before you're addressing the position. And at that point, are you really landing someone who can come in and make some, you know, impact plays even as a rotational player? Odds are you're not going to. But if they can get those two positions, at least, you know, just even a veteran at each, a one-year deal, just some sort of stability, now they enter the draft and say at pick 29, neither of the guys that are on their board or that they like are available at that point. There isn't that, you know, that nagging background pressure, whatever you want to call it, of, all right, we have to find someone here. They can take whoever they want at that point. And so I think that addressing those needs in free agency will just give them so much freedom in the draft. Because if we look at other positions in need, wide receiver, I mean, they don't have anyone under contract for 2022, so it's an obvious need. But they have their top three guys from the number one scoring offense returning. If they don't get someone till round three or four, and they added Funchess, yep, that too. If they don't get someone till rounds three or four, that's fine. Yep. Offensive tackle, David Bakhtiari's out, but he's going to be back. They at least have Billy Turner. They have Elton Jenkins. So if they get to the, you know, in round one, say someone's not there, they don't have to. They should early on. I still advocate for it, obviously. But you don't have to, and that's the key with this. And you can go down the line with other positions. Edge rusher would have been another one. Even if Preston Smith wasn't back, you still at least have Smith and Gary, so you don't necessarily have to. So I think if they can find a cornerback and a defensive tackle in free agency, they'll be able to do whatever the heck they want in the draft position-wise.
Yeah, and you said, you know, have to put themselves in a position to have to draft a specific position or a particular player by round two, and let's not forget they're picking late in these rounds. Mm-hmm. So their first round pick is essentially a high second, and then it just trickles from there. Now they've got a bunch of picks they could put together and package if they wanted to move up for somebody. But yeah, you don't really necessarily want to reach. You know, before all of this news dropped, what we were going to do was our burning questions ahead of free agency. And I think, Paul, we pretty much covered yours, which was, you know, which positions.
That was it, yep.
Yeah, which positions do they address?
I think you forgot a position, guys.
Running back?
Yeah. If they don't re-sign Jones and Williams, mm-hmm. A.J. Dillon's going to be very busy.
Right. Well, yeah, Mark, I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, what was your question was, do they keep any of their free agents and who?
Right.
So does this kind of tell a little bit as far as how you're feeling about Aaron Jones?
No, I don't want Aaron Jones. I mean, I would love to have Aaron Jones, but I don't, not at what he's looking for. I want Jamal Williams back at a modest figure. You know how I feel about running backs. I don't pay money. I don't want to pay running backs. And I think Jamal Williams will, you know, settle in for, you know, I'm hoping, you know, maybe a 4-year deal worth about $18 million. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Am I short changing him a little bit there? I don't know. Aaron Jones wants like $12 million a year. I'm not giving Aaron Jones $12 million a year. I'm not giving any running back $12 million a year.
Right.
That's just me. I mean, that's Packers might, and if they do, that's on they. I'll trust, like you said, I'll trust them. You know, that's what they do for a living. I just talk about what they do for a living. I just don't think you pay running backs a whole lot of money, but they do need. They need another running back. I know they like the kid from Memphis that was on a practice squad, but again, as a third guy, he'd be fine. But you need somebody besides Dillon, don't you? And again, if they lose both of them, they're going to have to draft one probably sooner than they would like.
Yeah, it just kind of slides everything up the priority ladder. But when you've got so many positions to address and only so many draft picks, then and you've got your board and your scouting team has done all this work, you know.
The fact that they have A.J. Dillon, I think, drops it down in the priority. Like, they still absolutely have to address it. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying wait till the end of the draft, but it's not, even if it wasn't a day two, you know, you can find those, you know, pass catching, change of pace running backs in rounds 4 and 5.
Yeah,
but you're counting on them, but you could also get a bust too. I mean, you don't know.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yep. So Aaron Jones, go get the bag. It's not going to be in Green Bay unless we don't know something that they do.
Maybe you never know. I mean, and again, I'm not going to, as a fan, I'm not going to be upset that they brought back a guy that's gained, you know, over 1,000 yards two straight years and scored a bunch of touchdowns. I'm not going to be upset as a fan. If I was, you know, writing about the Packers like I did the Eagles on a regular basis on a beat, I would question the move because, you know, history tells you you pay running backs a lot of money and it doesn't work out. And we went through this last week or 2 weeks ago, all the examples, the Melvin Gordons and Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette, and the teams that paid them don't even have them anymore. You know, they're still on their books. You know, Zeke Elliott got a big deal. Cowboys didn't do anything since he got the deal. Dalvin Cook, big deal. The Vikings have a losing record. I mean, it's not. It's just not a. And I don't want to just keep talking about this every week, but running back is not a place where you spend big money.
Right. No, it's not. And the Packers, I think they'll make a wise decision here. I mean, you could, for $12 million, you could address a couple of different things and make a bigger impact. You know, he's a big loss to the offense, and I don't want to make it sound like the number one offense is just going to come out and churn and look great, and they're not going to have to replace what Aaron Jones did. He was a huge, huge part of that. But then my other thing, too, was in the postseason. If you look at the postseason, that's where Aaron Jones kind of, you know, he didn't shine as much. Now, against the Niners, they didn't do much of anything, so I don't know if we can count that particular game because they didn't make the postseason his first 2 years. And then this last year, he turns in one of the worst games of his life. You know, he fumbles the ball when he doesn't usually put the ball on the ground. Just weird stuff happens and things like that. So the Packers have to be smart with what they're going to do with the running back position. But as far as any of their other free agents, though, Mark, I mean, we've got Corey Linsley. Did you believe any of the? Did you believe any of the smoke last week where Gutekunst didn't say we were talking to Corey Linsley, but he said he was keeping the door open to all options with regards to Corey Linsley?
Yeah, I mean, the door is open, but. He also said, but he's going to get he deserves the big payday that Packers can't afford him. It's simple. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I would love to have Corey Linsley's back. He's the best center in the game probably. But in a non-salary cap world, this was baseball. Sure. Bring him back, bring Jones back, bring everybody back and let's go for it again. But there's a salary cap and they have their replacements ready, you know, whether it's Jenkins or Patrick. We've talked about this. They have a replacement ready for Corey Linsley. And let's be honest, too. Corey Linsley is going to be 30 years old, and he has a chronic back issue. That's not the guy you want to be married to for the next 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think. But, you know, so, yeah, I don't think Linsley – the one guy, now all of a sudden, I think we talked about it a while ago. Now all of a sudden, it's getting some steam or buzz, as you guys might call it. Is Lane Taylor coming back? And I'm sure that would be on a minimum deal, right? I mean, who's going to sign Lane Taylor? He's coming off another two straight years of injuries, but he's a good security blanket for the offensive line.
Sure, former starter.
I was going to say I might add two more names to that list. That's potential. Well, one I think is coming back for sure, Mercedes Lewis.
Oh yeah, I even forgot he was a free agent.
just another 1 year deal at a vet minimum. He said he wants to come back. He wants to come back for the Packers. LaFleur loves him, and Roger loves him. Great locker room guy. And while they have, you know, right now they have a good tight end group: DeGuara, Sternberger, Tanyan, Daphne, Lewis. If he comes back. None of them do what Lewis does, you know, strictly blocking and at the level that he does it. He's an important part of the offense. The other one.
And he's a good mentor to those young guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think Tanyan, like back in 2018-19, Lewis's first year, mentioned how important he was just in camp and stuff like that, helping him. Another name, potentially, I'm not nearly as strong on this one as coming back. And I do like the Lane Taylor one, by the way. Tyler Irvin, potentially, just because that. that gadgety type player is important to the offense, but also they could just go into the draft and say, all right, we're going to find this as well.
That's what I think. I think they find another, a younger, healthier. Mm-hmm. And I love Dyler Irvin. When they got him, what a great pickup that was. But, my God, he can't, you know, he got hurt every other week.
Yeah, his durability was just, it was tough. And that's a tough part of the NFL is that, you know, Mark, you've said it before too, the best ability is availability in the NFL. And it's a game of attrition, and the Packers have to have that depth and be ready. And, you know, that was one of the things I can say, even though the season ended disappointingly, that was one thing that didn't bite the Packers was they didn't have a depth issue. You know, they had, except for David Bakhtiari, but you're not going to replace your all-pro left tackle. But they mitigated it okay. I mean, the NFC Championship game, it was a problem, so I guess maybe I should eat those words a little bit. But they didn't have a huge bevy of injuries this year, and that's the other thing that's going to be key this next season is all these things are going to hinge on the team staying healthy and these guys playing out the deals that they signed and having your key players out there. I mean, obviously, you need Aaron Rodgers out there. You need Davante Adams out there. David Bakhtiari come back as soon as possible. Elgton Jenkins, all those studs, Jair, you need those guys to be healthy and contribute. But just a couple days away. So, I mean, as far as how we're feeling going into it, but to just kind of wrap it up and put a bow on everything, the win for me as a fan is that I'm not too high or too low on what I expect next week. The last couple of years, I've kind of been like, oh, I have these expectations. Last year, they signed four guys on the first couple of days of free agency, so I can't wait to see what they do this year. Well, last year was very different. They didn't have the free agency frenzy that they did the year before, and you're not going to see that every single year. But, you know, for me, it's like if they don't do a whole lot and the focus that they put on is their own guys and restructuring and extending and all that kind of stuff, okay. I mean, again, top offense in the league. It's not like they've got a ton of huge holes. But as far as how you're feeling going into next week and maybe compared to the past couple of years, you know, you've got a repeat NFC championship appearing team in the Green Bay Packers. Mark, how are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel today was a good day. Mm-hmm. With the Smith and Amy, you know, they're at, I don't have all the numbers, but they're basically even right now. So they're they'll be at the cap number now. They still have some things that they can easily do. Like, well, I shouldn't say easily. Well, Aaron Rodgers, if they restructure Rodgers, that's kind of easy to do, and they gain a ton of money. I expect a Davante Adams extension sooner than later, which will create some cap money. And I think as a Darius Smith, something's coming up there because there was too much talk about that this week for something not to be going on there as well. So they'll have some money. What do I expect in free agency, or what would make me happy? I'd like to see Jamal Williams re-signed, and I think they can sign. Paul was asking for two. You're asking for a corner and a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
you might get that. I think you might get one, like a starting corner at a decent number, not a crazy number, but at a decent number. God, it was like I threw out Butler, but whoever. A player like that at a decent number. And maybe a defensive lineman that's not quite as big name, but a good, solid rotation guy that can rotate.
Yeah, because that's all they need. They just need someone to take, you know, Kiki will hopefully be healthy for the whole year, take his snap count up, take Lowry from down. 65 to 50%, whatever, you know, that ballpark, have someone fill in. That's all they need.
Sort of three of them can rotate with Kenny Clark.
Yep.
And again, the other good news of the day, Dean Lowry's still a Green Bay Packer. They did not cut Dean Lowry. As the president of the Let's Keep Dean Lowry Club, we're very happy here in Myrtle Beach.
Mark has opened my eyes on that one throughout these podcasts over the last few months.
And everybody else had him cut. Everybody was cutting Dean Lowry to save that whole whopping $3 million.
Well, sure. Sure.
You know, they found a way to keep Dean Lowry in. And they freed up three. And they can still do other things. There's still some other guys that could get moved who I expect to get moved.
Yeah, there's more moves they could make. But it's about an $8 million swing today alone on Friday that the Packers freed up. So it's going to allow them to do some damage. And whether that's just a matter of, hey, we want to get closer to the cap figure, or if they've got plans and moves that they want to make over this next week, I don't think we're going to be fortunate enough for the biggest dump of the week to be Friday again for us to do our show next week, but who knows?
Maybe they'll sign a guy next Friday. They're going to re-sign Jamal Williams next Friday.
There we go. There we go.
You always ask me to tell what to do, right?
So, well, that's the one that you, out of all the things they could do, that's the one you want. You don't want the Malcolm Butler signing to come Friday? So you can gloat about it?
But I hope so. Well, we can still talk about it, but that might happen like Wednesday or Thursday.
So, Paul,
I got to give the other guy something. Come on.
Well, right. Yeah, I guess. Okay, that's fine. You know, we have a team to cater to here, so sure. That's fine. Well, Andy's going to talk about Tim Boyle, so his topic is covered.
For how many shows in a row?
Just one. He's a smart guy. Andy's a smart guy, but
Boyle will get a job.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
We all get a job.
Sure.
I hope it's somewhere. I hope it's not, you know, Chicago or Detroit or somewhere, but
that was one of those moves that you knew was coming. Has to be quarterback too. He needs those reps. I mean, Hackett went, went off. He didn't go off, but he went on was asked about it and had a lengthy answer talking about how important, you know, this upcoming offseason is for Love, because he didn't really have it last year as a rookie, just given everything that took place.
Yeah, so, your number one pick can't be third string, two straight years.
No. And people point back to Aaron Rodgers when he first joined the Packers and he didn't get on the, you know, he sat behind Favre for 3 years and different time, different circumstances, different situation. He was, maybe you're right. Maybe by his second year, he was the backup. Actually, you're right. He was, because he got hurt in a game against New England when he came into backup Favre when Favre got knocked out. So you're right. He was only third string for 1 year.
Yeah. You got to be at least. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That would send a lot of red flags to Jordan Love.
Exactly.
And especially if they don't. Yeah. So, Paul, same question for you going into this next week. Are you living in the middle to begin with and just kind of sitting back and riding the wave? Or are you feeling a little up or a little down about how things are looking going into next week?
No, I feel good. I mean, my tendency as a fan is always just to kind of be in the middle, not too high, not too low. But I feel good. They're pretty close to even as far as the cap goes. And I'll mention this again. I know I've said it before, but it is important. All the cap figures that we see, that doesn't take into account in-season spending, the practice squad, the draft class, any free agents that they sign. So just because they're close to zero, there's other moves that still have to be made to create that additional space. But no, I feel good. I expect them to participate. You know, Goody's made a few signings each year, maybe not all of them. You know, not all of them were obviously like 2019. With some big names, but even last year's Wagner, Kirksey, Funchess, you know, they're going to make additions. I know a lot of the focus has been on the salary cap and what the Packers can't do, and rightfully so. They have to obviously be very mindful of it. There's moves that have already taken place, moves are going to take place to be ensure that they can do something, but they are going to do something this next week. So, no, I feel good. And like I said, if they can get a cornerback and defensive lineman, that's just going to set them up to do whatever they want in the draft.
Right. Right, good things coming ahead. Speaking of things coming ahead, let's go around the horn. Mark over at Packer Report this next week. What do we got coming up?
I don't know. Let's see what they do. Well, Monday, I'll probably kind of write a lot of stuff we just talked about. What are their needs? What I like to see them do in free agency, and then later in the week, I'll react to what they do or don't do, or if any of their guys sign somewhere else, and you know, it'll just be more of a news type stories.
Okay. And Paul, you've become an even busier man. You got Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, Packers Unrestricted. So what's going on this next week?
I think a lot of it this coming week is just going to be news, just depending what comes out, because it is going to be a busy week, similar to what we saw today. As far as a couple articles that I have out, I talked about over at Cheesehead TV, how they're going to balance Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. I also talked about the importance of, guess what, signing a free agent cornerback and defensive lineman as well. So those are a couple to check out that are already out right now, but a lot of it I think is just going to kind of be rolling with the tide and seeing where the team takes us.
All right. Well, hopefully by the time next week rolls, we've got some more news dropping. We're on such a streak. I mean, this might be an historic time for the Saturday Pack-A-Day crew, but for now, hopefully, Paul, enjoy the warmer weather in Wisconsin. I'll be cold over here in the Phoenix area. We'll revisit it next week. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their weekend. Enjoy the start of free agency. I would caution Packers fans to go into it with an even head, but I think those words are wasted. You know how the Green Bay Packers fan base is. So everyone just do the usual. Be safe, enjoy your weekend, and go Pack, go.